This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, it is Thursday morning, and every Thursday during the fast-moving 90-day legislative session, we have done a weekly legislative update here with Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, out of Kalispell, really kind of hitting the high points on, you know, what's the big items seeing the action this week in the state legislature, which bills are the closest to getting to the governor's desk for signature. Talked a lot about this billion-plus tax relief that is going to be delivered to Montanans later this summer in the form of rebate checks, and then, of course, lower tax rates as well, in addition to the brackets that have been busted down. But sometimes when we do these weekly legislative updates, it's like, well, hey, what are the big topics to cover today? And sometimes it'll be a deep dive on the transgender debate or something else. But I think we have our topic for today. To kick things off of House Bill 2. House Bill 2 is always the big one in the Montana legislature. It's basically the main state budget bill. As Jonathan Ambarian with the Montana Television Network reported here, the Montana House spent the whole day Wednesday debating just one bill, but it is by far the biggest of the legislative session. This is the $14.3 billion in spending over the next 2 years budget bill. All Republicans voted in favor of the bill. All the Democrats voted against House Bill 2, the budget bill. It was a 68-32 party line vote. But it appears that one of the biggest sticking points deals with prison inmates and what we should do with our overcrowded jails, what we should do with our overcrowded prisons. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we'll talk about this a little bit more here after our first break, especially when we catch up with Speaker Regeer. But the bottom line is, right now we've got cities across Montana that are seeing huge upticks in crime, and in violent crime in particular. And so we've got jails that are overcrowded. We've got a prison that is at capacity. So the only option that seems to be on the table right now is sending 120 prisoners down to Arizona. The Democrats are against that move. The Democrats are saying, well, why can't we just send the prisoners to these pre-release facilities? Well, why do these prisoners need to be so far away from their families? What is this going to do to the families of the prisoners and of the prison inmates? And I tell you what, it was this newly elected lawmaker out of Anaconda, Representative John Fitzpatrick, who absolutely nailed it. So the Democrats are saying, well, we don't want these prisoners to be so far away. These family members are going to be upset that their family members are being sent hundreds of miles away. And Representative John Fitzpatrick out of Anaconda made the point. He said, well, you know what? A lot of families are happy that they're going to be a long ways away. Yeah, I mean, think about it. If you were one of the victim's family members, you'd be happy that the criminal
stations in just a few weeks. So easy. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it here with Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, out of Kalispell. Mr. Speaker, great to have you back on the show for our weekly legislative update here. Are we at the end of the third quarter or the start of the fourth quarter of this 90-day legislative session right now?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana.
Yeah, great to have you.
Yeah, I think I don't even know where we're at in it. It's, a lot of times it seems like we're on the Ferris wheel here spinning around and just trying to keep the corn dog down, you know?
You're just at Shields wondering when you're getting off the Ferris wheel so you can go get some of those caramelized cashews or something like that afterwards. Yeah. Well, it seems like the big topic today, I've got three different articles in front of me right here regarding House Bill 2 and the state budget, and certainly we want to get your take on the overall spending. But this whole debate over transferring prisoners to Arizona, I like the approach that Representative Bill Mercer shared. He said, look, you know, this is the only option, the only solid option that's on the table right now is sending 120 prisoners down to Arizona. Yeah, I'd like to have a secure bed facility here in Montana that we could send these prisoners to. But we've got jails that are overcrowded. We've got a prison that's crowded. And we have got to get these criminals off the street, because that is partly what is fueling this crime wave in parts of the state.
Exactly. And that's the logistical problem. There's no more space. There's no more space in the state facilities, and we've got inmates that are state's responsibility that are sitting in county jails. And county jails where there's no programs, there's no rehabilitation, it's just a county jail. So with even sending them to Arizona prison, they're going to get the services that they would in a state facility here. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek for Democrats to say, you're sending them out of state, but there's no help here to even build more facilities here at the state level.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, I get where the Democrats are coming from here, because I think when it comes to treatment programs and things like that, I think we all want to reduce recidivism, and we want to help people get off the Ferris wheel, frankly, of repeating these crimes over and over again, a drug addiction. But at the end of the day, we have tipped the scales too far in the treatment direction, and we need to focus more on incarceration of some bad individuals out there that keep committing all of these crimes again and again and again. And we've got to build more prison capacity. But in the meantime, we've got to do something, because we are in a crisis. We can't just sit around and, you know, twiddle our thumbs while this crime continues to skyrocket in parts of the state.
That's exactly it, Aaron. It's pretty easy to sit back then, like the Democrats did, and just throw arrows instead of coming up with a solution. Do you want us to keep them in county jails or let them go even worse? So right now, as Representative Mercer said on the floor, this is our best situation right now to still even give the inmates the rehabilitation services that they would get at the state level. So it's a responsible move.
I know I'm hearing a lot of folks across Montana talking about, hey, you know, I know former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer shot down that hardened detention facility, but man, that facility's there. But those are long-term conversations. That's not something that can be finalized in the next, 20 or 30 days of this legislative session. Big picture spending-wise, Democrats continue to try to add on and tack on hundreds of millions of dollars in more spending, and Republicans look like stood firm and rejected all of those increased spending attempts.
Yep, they brought amendment after amendment that would just spend money, and this is kind of the same deal as the prison. It's easy to sit back and just criticize, and it's the easy thing to do, take your neighbor's money and throw it at more problems that you have instead of coming up with a responsible solution. And that's just what the Democrats did. It's tough to be the adult in the room as the Republicans. But we did. We held strong. The House Bill 2 passed with 68, all 68 Republicans voting for it and 32 Democrats voting against it. It kind of shows where we are at politically, the spenders and the fiscally prudent party.
How much of this is one-time spending versus ongoing spending, ongoing programs that would see a budget boost as a result of this House Bill 2?
So House Bill 2 is the budget that we set for the 2 years. So it really spends, it's all the ongoing, it's all the laws that we put in code in the past that we have to fund. I mean, education funding, all that is in House Bill 2. So it's the ongoing budget. The one-time only stuff is really going to come in a lot of single bills, as we've seen here, from housing to the tax rebates that we've already got signed. Those are the one-time only. So,
interesting.
That's the difference. Yeah. Yeah,
and the reason I asked that question is because I was reading the KTVH report by Jonathan Amberian here, and it notes that according to Representative Lou Jones, the full bill, including money from all sources, at least according to this report, includes about a 12% increase for the coming biennium. So there might be some folks out there who say, hey, are the Republicans spending too much? They may not spend as much as the Democrats wanted, but are the Republicans still spending too much?
Yeah, and that, I guess, argument could be made. I would probably make it the other way of general fund dollars. There's federal dollars in there and federal grants, and with the whole COVID thing, that kind of got messed up. So that's in that 12%. But as far as state dollars and the state taxpayers paying, we were only at about 4%, a little over 4% for each year. So in this high rate of inflation.
Don't wait. Get your gold information kit absolutely free. Call 800-200-2079. 800-200-2079.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, here's a radical concept. Got a great message that just came in on our Montana Talks app. This came from Darren in Helena, listening to KCAP. Maybe criminals shouldn't commit crimes. Then they can stay close to home. That's a radical concept, isn't it? Oh, because so legislative Democrats were saying, we can't ship these prisoners down to Arizona. What about their families? How will they see their families? I don't know. An Allegiant Air flight to Arizona and back round trip is cheaper than gas right now from Culbertson to Deer Lodge round trip. Practically under the John Tester, Joe Biden gas prices. I don't know, maybe Skype, if Skype is still a thing, video chat through Facebook Messenger. But yeah, or maybe if you're worried about seeing your family members, don't commit crimes. The whole point of putting you behind bars is that, yeah, you don't get to see your family. You don't get to see your friends. Darren, thanks for that message. Jumping back into it here with the Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, out of Kalispell. By the way, you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app, and we'll share it with our listeners as well. Or you can call in 294-0970 if you have a quick question or comment with the Speaker. And then in the second half of the show, we'll just open up the phone lines for the full second half to anything and everything you want to talk about. Mr. Speaker, I thought you made a really good point there, because if I'm just out here in Montana, if I'm sitting at the Busy Bee Cafe and I pull up a news story here and it says that the Republicans just passed a bill that sets a $14.3 billion in spending over the next 2 years, and it amounts to where did I read that at here? It amounts to what was the big percentage of increase? A 14-something percent increase, I think I read. But you made a really good point. Okay, that's if you include federal matching dollars, et cetera. But when it comes to what Montana taxpayers are actually the spending for a Montana taxpayer standpoint, it's actually closer to 4%. So when you combine population gains along with inflation, that's actually below what inflation is right now, because the Bidenflation is catastrophic right now.
Yeah, I mean, what have we been clipping along for in the past there? 8% inflation, and so that's 4%. We're a little over 4% of state dollars moving forward for the next 2 years in that budget. So if you look at, and that's on top of a budget we did with no inflation 2 years ago. So when you look at it in those terms, I think we did as fiscally conservative as we could be. I mean, personally, I probably would have done a little lower, but inflation's here and it's real. And for us to keep it at half that rate of inflation, I think is a win for the people of Montana.
Yeah, and inflation doesn't seem like it's going away really anytime soon. I mean, and that 8% number that they've reported, I think we all know that is a underinflated number because the real world inflation. I mean, look at your eggs. There's some stores across America have just stopped selling eggs altogether because the prices are just too out of control. And so don't just tell us it's 8%. We know it's far worse than what the government has been telling us, right? Let's see some of the other. What are some of the other bills that are seeing action in the state legislature right now that you think are the closest to making it to the governor's desk?
Yeah, so there's one, and we talked about this before. Representative Phelan has a bill that would just restrict obscene material from schools. And the schools are exempt. It's already in law that you can't have obscene materials. That's why you drive down the interstate, you don't see obscene billboards, because it's already in law you can't do it. But schools were exempted from that obscene mandate law. And so Representative Phelan's got a bill, House Bill 234. It's passed a House committee, passed the House floor. It's over in the Senate. And if we could call to action here, the people of Montana, give the Senate Education Committee, give them a call, give them an email, and just say, pass House Bill 234 to protect our kids from obscene material in the schools. It's a great bill that we need to get across the finish line.
Yeah, it's also interesting to me, too. I remember a couple of years ago when the left, they were trying to cancel Dr. Seuss. And we had schools in Montana that, good on them, I think Governor Gianforte even went out and was reading Dr. Seuss books to the kids. But the same liberals that want to ban Dr. Seuss, they will fight to the death to defend LGBTQ child pornography remaining on the school bookshelves.
Yeah, and it's exactly it. And I did not know how bad this was until we got here. When we heard this bill on the floor, the Montana Library Association, which is very disappointing, they paid to have the book Gender Queer put out on all 100 desks here on the House floor, which has pictures of sexual acts in it. It's pretty graphic. I don't know what I can say here on the radio. But that's the kind of battle we're in right now of, I think we're in the battle for the heart and soul of our next generation. And, are we going to protect them, or are we going to, let this go down that path of obscene material in front of grade schoolers?
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a line that I thought of earlier this morning. I was chatting with our friend David Noble about it, which is, they don't care about transgender kids. If they did, they wouldn't be trying to force these surgeries on these kids. They don't care about transgender kids. They want to transform America into something else. They want to transform America into something else. Let's get into the phone lines here. Kevin in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment?
Hopefully the interim bill will go forward on those interim committees. I've told you guys for years that if you're going to be in charge, well, be in charge. Put the committees together as the reflection of the legislature and get rid of this. Democrats get to be chairman 1 year and then the Republicans the next year. No, we're in charge and we're going to be chairmen and we're going to put those committees together that reflects the legislative body ratio. And I think that will produce a lot better interim bills coming forward, a better legislative process. Thank you.
Well said, Kevin. Well said. Yeah, for those who aren't tracking, I think NBC Montana had a story earlier this week where, legislative Republicans are looking to make some updates to the interim committees. So, take House Bill 2, the budget bill. Okay, so 68-32 is the party line vote in the state house. So 68 Republicans vote for the bill, 32 Democrats vote against it. If there's 68 Republicans and only 32 Democrats, that's the will of the voters of Montana. So when the session is done in late May, why would an interim committee be 50-50 when the real numbers are 68-32? That doesn't make any sense.
That's absolutely right. And we just heard this bill the other day on the floor. And why should democracy stop at sine die? Sine die is when we end our 90-day session here. And to hear all the anti-democracy rhetoric coming from the Democrats, of the reality is there were Republicans with zero voice during the interim just because it was 50-50. And Democrats, there were some Democrats with five interim committees and Republicans with zero. And it's not about that legislator. It's about the voice of the people they represent. That's the people out there that had that representative with zero interim committees. had zero voice during the interim, while the Democrat had five times the voice. It's very, it's just a democracy on trial there, and it was disappointing to see the Democrats go the opposite way.
Yeah, I mean, why doesn't the Green Party get a fair shot then? I mean, if we're just going to do 50-50 just because, whether the people of Montana voted 50-50 or not, well, why doesn't the Green Party get a chair in interim committee? Why doesn't the Constitution Party get it? Why doesn't the Libertarian Party get a chair committee? I mean, if we're just going to play stupid games, then let's play stupid games.
Yeah, divide it up a third, third, and a third. I mean, it gets crazy when you start. But it's bottom line, it's the voters that got silenced in the past. And that's not right. You need to, we need to represent our people for the whole 2 years, not just for 90 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I must have been a Freudian slip. I used the phrase, they will fight to the death a couple of minutes ago. But actually, that's not my terminology. That was the actual words that were used by this radical leftist former Montana Supreme Court Justice Jim Nelson. Constitutional amendments always happen. We just had a successful constitutional amendment that passed that the voters of Montana supported by like 75-85% in the November 2022 elections, a privacy measure that passed by that big of a margin. So very clearly, Montanans like the ability to amend the Montana Constitution. But this liberal justice said they will fight to the death to stop changes happening to the Montana Constitution.
Yeah, former Supreme Court Justice James Nelson, and then even followed up, the media followed up, and he sent out an email saying, here, he doubled down on it. He said, absolutely no second thoughts on the way I phrased my remarks. That's his quote from the email. Extreme partisanship from a former Montana Supreme Court, and that's got to change. The Supreme Court here is, I know there's been letters, they've taken out ads saying they need to be independent branch of government, and that's exactly the opposite of what we're set up. We're three branches of government with checks and balances for all of us. It's the Montana Constitution under the judicial branch, Article 7, that 22 different times gives the legislature or by law oversight over the judicial branch. It's a checks and balance thing. They're not an independent branch. And that to me is just so wrong. It's just bad government, not the way it's set up.
All right. I know we've got less than a minute before our break here. Let me see if I can sneak in a quick phone call here from, hold on. Let me get my chat in front of me here. I'm trying to work quickly here. Oh, Roy in Lakeside. Roy, go ahead.
Thank you, Aaron. I just wanted to let you know, it doesn't make sense to me that we legalized marijuana and don't expect to have an explosion in our prisons.
Interesting. Hold that thought, and we'll come back to you after the break. Speaker Regeer, your quick response, and thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks a bunch for having me, Aaron, and thanks a bunch, Montana, for weighing in and being part of your state government here in Helena.
All right, yeah, and we got to hit this hard break. But, hey, Roy in Lakeside, if you can, stand by, because you made a really good point there, because Colorado saw the same thing happen after they legalized it.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
This week, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte has been traveling the state, participating in Montana Ag Week and National Ag Week celebrations. One of those stops was south of Belt, Montana at the McCafferty Ranch.
Well, it's really important to celebrate ag. All of our great producers, whether they be wool growers, stock growers, grain growers, pulse crop producers, Montana is known for our superior quality commodities. And it's great to be here at the McCafferty Ranch in Belt, seeing some innovation.
And that innovation is how the McCafferty family finishes their cattle on a grass-fed sprout diet for around 150 days through their custom hydroponic plant that they developed. And they've been doing this for a while, but their new plant just got running this past summer.
What they've done here with the grain and the hydroponics, really innovative, makes them more drought resistant. So they have feed 12 months of the year out of a 40 by 60 foot building. It's pretty impressive. I think they've unlocked the code on something, some other people could take advantage of this.
Gianforte said his administration is dedicated to providing opportunities for producers to add value to their businesses.
And our focus at the Department of Ag on value added is important, so we can keep the Montana brand on these great products all the way through the supply chain so that we can capture a premium value for this premium product that we're producing.
Happy Ag Week. I'm Lane Northlund.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great message here from Rick in Glendive. Rick in Glendive, listening to KXGN, sent us a great message during the break. If sending prisoners out of state is such an issue, why not build a new prison here and run it as a business to help pay for it? Other states have overcrowding too. Rick, yeah, you're spot on. And that's why a lot of people across Montana are saying, hey, what about that facility in Hardin? They built a prison in Hardin, but because of philosophical objections, by then Governor Brian Schweitzer, basically there was a whole, and it wasn't just Schweitzer to blame. I think there were some other folks who, well, I want my facility over here. I'd rather have, these inmates in my facility. Well, now everything's overcrowded. Anyway, and so a lot of people are saying, yeah, why don't we use the prison that's right here that's been empty? And but that's going to take some time to make that happen, to fund something like that, et cetera. That's not something that's going to be decided in the next, 20, 30 days or however many days are left in the legislative session. And that's why I think Representative Bill Mercer's point was great. The Democrats were saying, well, we don't want to send these prisoners to Arizona. What about their families? What about their families? Well, what about the families of the victims? What about the families of the people that are going to be victimized tomorrow and next weekend and the weekend after that by these criminals that constantly get put back out onto the streets? And so, that's why this representative from Anaconda, apparently he offended some of the Democrats in the legislature yesterday, but he made that point. There's a lot of families that are going to be very happy that these prisoners are far away from Montana. And I think the bigger picture here, but Bill Mercer was diplomatic. He said, yeah, okay, my Democrat friends, okay, yeah, let's have these conversations about what we do long term. But we've only got 90 days of this legislative session, and basically we've got a crisis on our hands. And, here's the same people that shut down your church, that shut down your restaurant, that shut down your fabric shop in Polson, Montana because of a crisis. But yet they don't have the same sense of urgency when it comes to this crime crisis. The same crime crisis that their buddy John Tester created, by the way, with the wide open southern border and the Mexican drug cartels. They don't have this same sense of urgency that hey, yeah, I get it. You'd rather that we did A, B, C, or D with these criminals, but we don't have those options right now. This is the only option at hand, and we are in a crisis, so we need to send these prisoners to Arizona. But it's not that big of a crisis for them. Anyway, great points all around. 406-294-0970. Let's see. Roy in Lakeside. Roy, were you able to stand by through the break there?
Yes, I was.
Oh, great. Good. I'm glad, because I wanted to come back to you. Yeah, what more did you want to share?
My wife and I are both Montanans, and we have been able to go to Arizona for the last 20 years. I was fortunate to be able to serve in a Bible study, a church, a prison ministry just outside of Phoenix, south of Phoenix. And we would get about 60 to 65 criminals, inmates, in the Bible study. And you get to know, through the years, you get to know quite a few of these people. Some of them are lifers. Every single one of them said, my life of crime started with marijuana.
Hmm.
So the bottom line in my mind is, if we get tougher on crime and sentencing, crime will go down.
Yeah, and I agree with some of our friends on the left who say, well, we need treatment and we need this and we need these other support programs. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we need those. But the scales have tipped too far in one direction to where now it's time that we really just need to put some of these people behind bars. And
absolutely.
And I think the point, I think it was Speaker Regaer who made the point too, that actually when you put these people behind bars, that's when they actually do start getting the treatment that they really need or the program support that they really need. Yeah, thanks for your call. And by the way, hats off to you for supporting those, prison, missionary programs. And those are incredible. And look, I know we all talk tough on crime. And look, at the end of the day, we may say, hey, yeah, send them to Arizona. And we get it that their families want them closer, but look, we're in a crisis right now. And so, hey, at the end of the day, the families that are the victims' families are the priority right now. But to our listener in Lakeside, yes, that doesn't mean that we are going to be completely heartless for these prisoners. We still want them to have mission, Bible studies in the jails and people to be able to support them. We still want them to be able to see their families. But we are in a crime crisis right now. Something has got to be done. Thanks for standing by on the phone lines. But and also to Roy's point. We saw this in Colorado. The people that were speaking out, and I know the legalization of marijuana isn't the top topic for a lot of people. A lot of libertarian conservatives voted in support of legalization, and we all have friends that go to these dispensaries, right? And so there's a lot of people that use it, and they're successful people. They can go about their day to day life and still be successful. And then there's a lot of people that can't and don't. But what we saw in Colorado is the more they normalize it, the worse their crime got. And then the worse the other drugs got, too, meth and fentanyl and everything else. So point taken there, Roy. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Michelle in Billings. Michelle, thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
Great. On the crime crisis, people are starting to they're starting to gather up and try to get together so they can make a change. So, but they don't know where to start. Some people have started with the city council. The city council says go to the county. The county says go to the sheriff. The sheriff says go to the legislators. So what happens is we spin around in circles and nothing gets done, and here we are in a crime crisis. So I'm wondering, do you have any ideas or do you have any names of where a person can start?
Good question. And when you say where you can start, which is, okay, so how do we deal with getting more of these criminals off the street? Is that the problem that we identify? And then where do we start to tackle that problem? Is that a good way to sum it up?
Right. Well, people are starting to want to do something. You know, they're seeing that there's a problem. So then say we get a group of people, then what?
Yeah.
Where do we go?
Have you heard of Frank Ewalt? Yeah, because you're in Billings. Do you know Frank Ewalt at all? He used to be on the Billings City Council.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a group, obviously. So you're probably familiar with his efforts. But yeah, no. But your point about, well, what do we do and what do we do next? I mean, so if, for example, if I were in your shoes, because you really hit something that's important there, because I saw recently the Billings City Council, which is basically dominated by these leftists who were put in power by a bunch of out of state dark money. They tried to take shots at the county commissioners. They tried to take shot at the sheriff, and they tried to, they were playing the Bob Marley music. I shot the sheriff, and they were trying to put the blame somewhere else. Well, hey, city council, you could build a jail. You could build a city jail. That's within your realm, right? Anyway, if I was them, I would support what the legislature is doing. Let's deal with the crisis. Let's ship these prisoners to Arizona. But long term, hey, why don't we get this Hardin facility up and running or build some new...
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
The great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint
Hey, by the way, another angle to this whole crime problem that we've got on top of our southern border and the Mexican drug cartels that's fueling this violence and the drugs that are fueling this violence, liberal judges. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You'll see a story about liberal judge Mike Moses, the woman who just shot a Montana police officer on Saturday morning and also attempted to kill several other Billings police officers, got some of the charges dismissed and a lower bond thanks to that liberal judge, Mike Moses. So that's another big part of the problem here as well. Let's go back into the phone lines. Coach John in Kalispell, good to hear from you.
Hey, great to hear from you, Aaron, and I really appreciate the speaker we're here this morning. What I'm calling about is the can you hear me okay, Aaron?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, about the budget, about moving the budget ahead right now, and the flabbergasting to me that with 68 to 32, that's over a two-thirds majority. I'm wondering from the speaker, what are the programs that are, programs and line items already on the book? What's the issue with the Democrats? And how do we move forward from here? Can the governor intervene? And, maybe he can help us, the listeners, understand how we move ahead.
Well, I think they are moving forward. They debated House Bill 2 all day long, but and the Democrats, fired every arrow they could possibly fire, and it just went straight in the air, basically. Although a couple of them kind of boomeranged back around and landed in their own feet, like when they were defending prisoners instead of defending victims. But I think they're moving forward. They're moving out, and they're delivering. And, but that's why it's just, to me, it was so crazy that the legislative Democrats were taking the position they were with regard to the crime crisis and the prisoners. But great questions, Coach John. Yeah, maybe next time we'll keep the speaker on a little longer to take even more phone calls. By the way, Coach John, I know you always enjoy it when our buddy John Jackson is with us in studio. He was with us on Tuesday on the show, and, he's always good with those off-color jokes and innuendos. But let me just say, Coach John, I am I'm very glad that John Jackson is not with us today in studio. Because there's this New York Post headline from Miranda Devine. Let me read the New York Post headline for you here. Hunter Biden used an FBI mole named One Eye to tip him off to the China probes, according to a tipster to the New York Post. So Hunter Biden had a mole in the FBI named One Eye that tipped him off to the China probes going, looking into him there. And so anyway, it's hard to know, though. I mean, who would One Eye be with so many pricks back there at the FBI headquarters in Washington? It's just hard to know. Hard to know. Let's go to Arnie and Boyd. Arnie, what's going on?
Yeah, I was just calling in on the prison. Why don't G and Forty just make a move like Schweitzer did and do the opposite and get that thing going in Hardin? Why are we fooling around here?
So you're saying, do some executive action, get the Hardin detention facility up and running, make it another state prison, and boom, we're on our way.
Yeah, let's do something. Stand up like DeSantis does and take control. He's over here hiding in the shadows, not getting done what he could be getting done.
He's getting a lot done, but you're right. There is more that we could be getting done. The question is, how much would it cost? How close could they be to getting up and operational? But, look at all the cash that's flowing in right now. We could be at a $3.2 billion surplus by the end of the year.
Yeah, we're just hanging around here, and every time you wait more and more, it gets more and more expensive. So anyway, thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah, appreciate the phone call. 294-0970, the number for you. Oh, man, we're getting really short on time now. Hey, a big story just broke on Fox at Fox News earlier this morning, foxnews.com. Here's the headline for you here. Combat veteran mulling Montana GOP Senate bid criticizes Democrat Senator John Tester's comments. Anyway, apparently, Liberal Senator John Tester did an interview with the Daily Interlake in Kalispell over the weekend, and he had a line where he said that the United States, quote, farted around in the Middle East forever. May I remind you that John Tester was elected in 2006. So if the United States has been farting around in the Middle East, it's because John Tester has been there and has either done nothing about it or has been a part of the problem. But Tim Sheehy, incredible guy. If you've never met Tim Sheehy, former Navy SEAL, Purple Harp recipient. He's the CEO of Bridger Aerospace, a Montana-based aerial firefighting and wildfire surveillances services company. Apparently, there's a lot of people who are encouraging him to run for the United States Senate against Tester next year. And Sheehy said this to Fox News. He said this to Liberal Senator John Tester with regard to the Middle East. I was there, and I can promise you, I wasn't farting around. So maybe that's what Liberal Senator John Tester has been doing in Washington, but it's certainly not what Tim Sheehy and the rest of us were doing in Iraq and Afghanistan.